Good morning.
Good morning.
By the way, if any of you noticed my red socks, don't blame my wife. It's my fault. I think sometimes she's concerned that I don't think she's different than any other spouse. Sometimes they're concerned about what the other. I made that choice, and I think if one of our presidents can do that from time to time, I think I feel comfortable that it's okay. What's that? I'm sorry. Renewal. We're talking about renewal this morning, and I think we're doing some things that actually visualizes this idea of renewal. Jesus Christ wants to bring renewal in your life. He wants to bring renewal at that moment when you first come to faith, when you realize in your life that you are a sinful person, that you have failed Him in some way. The Bible teaches that all are sinners in need of salvation. Everybody, all of us, somewhere has failed. And at some point in your life, when you come to that realization that you have failed, that you have sinned against God, that you've done something that He doesn't approve of, and then you sense that call, that leading to respond and receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ so freely offers with open hands. When you come to that moment and you decide upon yourself as an individual to say, I want that renewal. I need that renewal. When you make that decision, that is a renewal. Paul actually puts it this way in 2 Corinthians, speaking to the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There is something that happens. Jesus talks about, when he says being born again, he talks about it from a perspective of being born from above. God is beginning to do something in your life that will bring about a renewal. Yes, we must respond and listen to the Holy Spirit, but understand all of that is Him working through us. He is reaching out to you to bring a renewal. And I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life I thought, I want that, right? I want to be forgiven. I want to forget that. I want it to go away. I want to push it aside. And reality is, when we choose to renew ourselves, whatever that may be, something in our life we realize we messed up, we made some mistakes, we done something to hurt other people. Listen, when you go to do that, everyone around you doesn't necessarily appreciate that or receive that, right? There are going to be some people that are continue trying to pull you back and say, nah, I know you, how you were. Nah, that's not real. And they may not necessarily choose to see you as a renewed being. So understand that we're not talking about how the world treats you. The world is not quick to forgive and to move on and to see you and to offer up a renewal. But I'm telling you, God looks down upon you, the one who created you, and says, I see you as a new person.
Amen.
All things have become new. All of that stuff behind you, you need to let it go. And I realize as a human being, that's not easy either. You still want to kind of beat yourself up because of something you did and because of how others help us think that way because they might not necessarily accept our renewal that has happened. But understand, from God's perspective, something wonderful has happened. Something supernatural has begun to take place in your life. What a wonderful renewal. Take a moment and look at this chair. You might look at that chair and one of the first things you think, depends on who you are, unless you're an antique dealer, you look at that and think, what a piece of junk. What's the first thing that needs to happen to that? It needs to go out to the trash. However, how does an artist or a woodworker look at that chair? Couldn't you see that they might look at that and say, wow, I see a vision, I see a possibility, I see value, that when I get done with that chair is going to be just as good, if not better, than it was before. However he chooses to shape it, he's going to bring a renewal to that chair. And I hope some of you have seen some of the stuff in your world that somebody has taken and renewed it, refinished it, repainted it. Renewal. We all want it. I had a moment a few years ago, a time when we were on vacation. And now, my family's going to tell you I broke two chairs during that week. I'm going to tell you it's just one, and that we don't have any recordings of it, so you're going to have to decide who you want to believe. But there's thought that I broke two chairs in 1 week. And I will also say that one of those chairs had been pre-broken. The people that had rented it had put the, you know, glued the chair back on, and when I got up and looked at it, you can see it was an old break that they'd put some glue on. The other one they claimed was a lawn chair that I broke out on the beach. And I will say, a few years later, I did break another chair out on vacation. So I would, if you invite me over to your home, just be careful about where you have me seat. You might end up with something like this picture. But understand, the Lord Jesus Christ continually wants to bring renewal in your life. Jesus is an artist. He was there at creation. You were created by Him. He knows full well what is going on in your life. He knows your past. And yet He still reaches out and says, I am here to give you a renewal.
Amen.
I have picked a text this morning that is too much to cover in one sermon. And don't get uncomfortable and think, oh, this is going to be a long one. No, actually, I'm intending on going short because of a couple other wonderful things that's going to happen this morning. We're having communion service, which again is a picture of renewal as well as a baptism. Praise the Lord. But in this text, which I'm going to read to you, this text, listen to it and think about it from a perspective of renewal that Jesus Christ offers up to this woman. And now I want to encourage you, if you can, if you know the story, and scripture is not going to be on the slides, and I would even encourage you, if you have your Bible, don't even open them up. I want you to, if you can, if you're willing, to just pause and listen as I read to you some scripture. And think about it again from this perspective of renewal. John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verse 5 to verse 42. Listen again and think about it from the perspective of renewal that the Lord Jesus Christ brings into the life of this woman. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which we believe was around noon, high noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true," the woman said to him. "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Just then His disciples came back, and they marveled that He was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of town and they were coming to Him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But He said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought Him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months and then come the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them. And He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Amen. Let's pray. Father, help each of us here this morning to recognize that Your Son is the Savior of the world. Not only for the world, but for each of us individually. Help us to see that You are here this morning amongst us. You promise us that two or three are gathered in Your name, that You are there in our midst, and that You are attempting to bring about renewals to all of us. Help us, Lord, to have a desire for renewal. Help us to see where we are failing You, where we are hurting ourselves and hurting those we love. Help us to make a decision this very morning to say, "I'm walking the pathway that honors You." And Lord, those of us who sense that we're there, Lord, we help us to appreciate that it is You working and drawing us in that direction. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is an artist. Think of the obstacles to this conversation taking place between this Jewish rabbi and this woman. Not only this woman, but I'm going to say this woman of the world, this woman that was socially, you'd probably almost want to cross to the other side of the sidewalk. We talked, I believe it was last Sunday, about gossip and how God does not approve of gossip. But I would say, if you're going to be gossiping, you're gossiping about this woman and about her life and what's going on. You're whispering amongst others. You're avoiding her. You feel like she's broken and you do not want whatever she has to get on you. She's a Samaritan. A group of people who did not worship in a way that honored God. And I would say here myself, if I was going to think about someone that might fit that bill right now, we might say this is a Muslim. She's a Muslim woman. Think about the obstacles there of a Jewish rabbi going and speaking openly. She's a woman, and here in this case, she was in a place where in culture she was seen of much less value than men. And I'm sure, ladies, you might suggest some of that's still going on today. But I'm going to say even more so back then, women did not have the rights in the world and in the community that they have nowadays. We're told that she had five husbands. And again, most suggest, we don't know. What you just saw in Scripture is all we know of this whole illustration, this whole incident that Jesus had. But most assume, well, that must have been five divorces. We don't know. But I will say this, it's extremely rare for any woman to have a right to divorce in that time frame. It would have been the man's choice. So she has, it's very possible, again, I don't know. It's very possible she's been kicked out of five houses. Five men have said, away with you. I don't want you. I don't want you in my life. Clearly, she would have been seen as an outcast as to someone who has had five marriages, who have in some way, shape, or form failed. Even if you say that she died, even if you say they died, which is a possibility, that's scary too, right? She had a relationship at the time with a man who wasn't her husband. And again, clearly the implication here is this was an intimate relationship. She was not living rightly before God. She was living an adulterous relationship. Yet Jesus opened the door for her.
Amen.
And he knew all of that. He called it out. Now listen, he wasn't calling it out and standing up and wagging a finger. He just said, he asked a question. And he says, I know where you're at. And listen, I don't know about you, but it just blessed my heart because I can picture Jesus saying that. I know all that. Sister, I know what's going on. I know your hurts. I know what's happening. Yet he opens the door. Let me ask you here this morning, to an individual who's like that, be honest. How quickly do you feel you want to open the door to their church? Now, I will say this, we might say, oh yeah, we'd like them to come and sit down in the pew. Although, I tell you, I've been in churches. I heard a service one time. I wasn't there. It was a television service, but the pastor says, now we don't have any ladies of the evening here. I don't remember the term he used. We don't have any here. And then he says, I hope not. And I just thought, boy, you're missing the story. You're missing the gospel. You're missing what we're here for. Absolutely, we should want this person, this lady, into our church. And again, I might say that might be easy for us to say, oh yeah, we want them to sit down. Oh, we want you to be there. That actually kind of makes us feel good. Look, we have some people that are not like us that come to our church. We might even feel good about ourselves. But be honest with yourself. How well would you truly welcome her? How would you be willing to welcome her to be a part of the ministry here at this church? Would there not be whispering going on about, do you know what kind of woman she is? Do you know what her past? Well, I've heard this and I've heard that. Would you truly welcome her and even be willing to allow her to be involved in some ministry? She became a missionary. A very powerful missionary, right? Doesn't tell us how many, but many people come and heard what she had to say and they wanted to go and learn more. I'll be honest with you, as I read this story, I feel some shame for how we, and when I say we, I'm not talking about Vanderhoof, I'm talking about church as a whole. I'm ashamed as I think, not only of my heart and my thoughts towards individuals who may be really seen as broken in society and how I treat them and how the churches treat them. I feel some sense of shame, and I want to tell you there's something we can do about that. Would you share Christ with this woman? Again, would you even invite her to your church with the idea of not just to fill a seat, but actually invite her in to be a part of your family. Can you see here, Jesus offers renewal to all who come. And He is an artist. Angela, what do we have? The Lord's speaking to your heart in any way. If you sense in your heart there's something going on, maybe you need a renewal personally. Maybe you sense that you've not been treating someone in a way that you ought to. Or maybe you just want to pray for the church as a whole. I encourage you, as we sing our hymn of invitation, this is an opportunity to come. You can pray in your seats. You can come to the altar. Let the Lord lead. If you feel drawn, then I encourage you to please respond. What do we have?
I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour. Let's all stand and sing. I need thee every hour. See the theme of renewal in communion. union. I asked Lim if you would please stand and read. I'm sorry, Brian, I need this screen up again. Lim, would you please stand and read, reading John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40.
I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. At that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that anyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Thank you. Again, can you hear the offer of renewal? The Lord Jesus Christ is looking down upon you and saying, come to me. And those of you who respond, I will not toss you aside. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Unlike people in your life that you know, if you've lived very long, you've had some who've failed you along the way. Unlike the people who have failed you along the way, understand the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm coming alongside you, and I want to be with you come what may. No matter what's going on, no matter what you're going through, I'm here, and I want to strengthen you and to guide you. Sometimes we forget the disciples left Jesus on his darkest hour. When he was being arrested, soon they all scattered. In a time when you would say he needed somebody the most, he was alone.
Amen.
And I would imagine you probably had some of those times when you felt like you needed somebody the most and you were alone. Understand the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I want to be there with you. I want to be a part of your life. I want to bring renewal. And again, this, as we are partaking in communion, understand this is this continual idea of renewal where we go to him and we seek forgiveness. Paul reminds us how important it is for us during the communion service to pause and to reflect, where are we at? Are there some things that maybe should change in our life? Should we begin to do some things that we know we ought to be doing? Are there some things that we should stop doing in order to bring honor to God? This is the time before we take part in the wafer.